With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You may be wondering, might this podcast contain mature language? Yes, it might. Welcome, 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 welcome to the Trampoline Hall podcast. I am your host, Misha Globerman. Trampoline Hall, I'm sure you know this, is a lecture series. It takes place in a bar. It's usually in Toronto, but sometimes we go to other places. People at Trampoline Hall give lectures on all kinds of topics, some serious, some ridiculous, some amazing, some less amazing. But the one restriction is they cannot speak on topics on which they are professionally expert. Then after each lecture, we take questions from the audience. And I'm the guy who does that. I stand around and do that Q&A. You can hear me do that at the end of this podcast episode. Now, the Trampoline Hall podcast, of course, does not take place in a bar unless you happen to be in a bar, in which case it does take place in a bar, but it happens wherever you are. It's the nature of podcasting. The way that it happens is that for every episode of the podcast, lecture selector extraordinaire Kate Bars goes through our deep archives and chooses one amazing lecture from our many, many years of recordings, and then we bring that to you through the magic of magic. If you like this and you're in Toronto, you should come check out the show. The show's amazing. It's like this, but actually happening. So join the email list to find out about that. But now is not the time for that. Now is the time for this. We will go to this episode's lecture. The topic is Winging It, and the lecturer is Amanda Happe.
Familiar with microphones, and I have no idea if you can hear me or not right now. Yes? Okay. I'll try to maintain this level of speaking. But I would like to thank you so much for having me here tonight to give you a thoroughly researched, tightly written, and overly rehearsed presentation on improvisation. Flying by the seat of your pants, speaking off the cuff, and playing it by ear, or as I've always liked to think about it, winging it. Being someone with a very uncool affection for words, I started with the origin of the phrase. I assumed it had something to do with birds. It does not. It's a phrase that comes to us from theater, and it actually refers to an actor who had no time to prepare and is given only moments to learn his lines while waiting in the wings. So sometimes he then had help from someone hiding behind a piece of scenery on stage or hiding back in the wings who would give him whispered cues during his performance. The first time that I remember consciously winging it was godforsaken grade 5. This was involuntary winging it. I had just moved from one side of the GTA to the other, very exciting. I was awkward, friendless, and unremarkable, and it was just the perfect time to enter into the class of a maroon-haired French teacher who structured the whole year around impro. Every 2 days, Madame Rochelot would cry out in her Durham County Quebecois as she threw down that hockey puck to determine whether or not the Bleu or the Rouge team would go first in an entirely unwinnable game of esteem gambling improvisation. And as I mentioned, this was grade 5. There was no one hiding behind a plywood tree to save you if you were going down in flames. It was Lord of the Flies, survival of the fewest. That whole year has become one of those rarely dared memories. You know, the kind that makes you inhale your gum if it accidentally surfaces. And while grade 5 French class may not be the best venue to learn the value of or the skill of improvisation in theater, it clearly has some merit. Some of the most famous lines and scenes from movies were unscripted. Now, I'm not fabulous at improvisations, but I'm going to do my best, so hopefully you will recognize a few of these. I'm walking here, I'm walking here. That was Dustin Hoffman in Midnight Cowboy, thank you. Here's one. Here is Johnny. That was my Jack Nicholson from The Shining. And the next one, are you talking to me? These don't sound like very good movies to me, but I don't know. That was Robert De Niro from Taxi Driver. And the last one, I'm going to give it to you before I say it, was Harrison Ford in Star Wars, and it was his improvised response to the statement, I love you, which was, I know. Of course, winging it isn't only the domain of theater. Researching the topic, I also came across the subject of improvised engineering. It's a bit of a misnomer, but it's the concept of coming up with an improvised solution to a physical problem on the fly. And one of the most famous examples is from Apollo 13, which is when they had to jury-rig a device to remove the carbon dioxide from their ship after everything, you know, was a huge disaster. And this is a total side note, but every single write-up on improvisation is fairly short, contains that reference to Apollo 13, and then ends with a mandatory, without-fail, reference to MacGyver. Which I think is sort of the root of the whole area of thought. In the realm of social activism, Martin Luther King one day departed from his prepared speech on the steps of the Lincoln Monument when a woman named Mahalia Jackson cried out from the crowd, "Tell them about the dream, Martin." In response to that, he launched into his unprepared and now most famous part of his I Have a Dream speech. Now, of course, it wasn't completely fabricated on the spot. It was a reconfiguring and a reconceiving of themes and concepts from previous speeches that he'd given, but never quite like that. I think the best impromptu speakers have this repertoire of narratives and ideas that they can pull from and string together at a moment's notice around a given topic. It's like a repertoire of ideas. And similar to this repertorial method is the musical off the cuff. Improvised solos are one of the hallmarks of the seasoned musician. The Hungarian composer Franz Liszt was known to be able to wing entire concerts. And there's musicians today who do the same. When I think about hours of improvised musical performance, it puts the fear of God in me. In my high school guitar class, my teacher gave me a scale, put me on the spot, and said, solo. I mean, I'd studied classical guitar for years, but this was something I had absolutely no capacity to do whatsoever. So my response was the hardest, coldest stare I've ever given anyone, and one word, no. After a few moments of silence, he just gave up. Music was just something that never came naturally to me. It was always an uphill slog, never to be followed by that feet off the pedals, downhill glide of reward that should follow such hard work. I could never wing it in that world, and it's because music wasn't my world. Which makes me wonder, is the ability to wing it an indicator of true talent? Is it the sign you've found your natural habitat? Maybe. But then winging it is not all rainbows and flowers. It's also the world of the young, unprepared show and teller who gives a talk about his shoes. It's the realm of the desperate exam taker, of the corporate bullshitter. And it's the end game of procrastination. It's that false bravado moment where you decide, oh, fuck it, I am just gonna wing it. So is winging it the strategy of the brave or the lazy? The expert or the unprepared? I think the answer is that it's both. It's both a virtue and a failing. It's both a confidence in the unknown and a willful defeat. And I think this is because winging it operates across scales. It ranges from that, you know, ad-lib line in a movie to a momentary necessity when you've exhausted all time and all options. And it even goes all the way up the scale into a general way that we move through life. There is a need to wing it in every conversation and interaction that is not scripted. And I think that's why some people succumb to social phobia. They're aware that there's a vast and shadowy field of unknowns in every conversation. What do I say if? What do I do if? If only they could have seen the script in advance. or at least, at very least, had someone waiting in the wings with the lines they didn't even know that they were supposed to rehearse. But we can take some comfort in the fact that we're never completely unrehearsed. Do you know the conventional wisdom that we still don't know why we dream? Well, we do. It's a remnant, a leftover from the days when we face life or death situations on a daily basis. It's nighttime threat simulation. When we're asked, we typically underestimate grossly the number of nightmares that we have. It's between 1 and 5 every night. And each one is a dry run of how you might get out of a stressful situation. And even dreams that aren't nightmares fulfill the same purpose. They're practices and rehearsals for your daytime decisions, actions, and reactions. And I think that we can take comfort in the fact that even though we may be making it up as we go along, it's never entirely from scratch. And I think that's what interests me about the concept of winging it, this way that it operates at the highest level of the spectrum rather than the unstudied exam end of the spectrum. There's a real beauty to winging it, because when you do that, you're truly in the moment, and it's a state that is shared with the pursuit of Zen. There's no watching from the sidelines when you're winging it. You're neck deep. And I worry that I may have entered a period of perpetual planning, that I will never recognize the moment where I consider myself and my work to be done the strategy, done the planning, and ready to put out there to wing it. To wing it is to take a risk, and it's a chance based on trust, despite the unknowables. I want to rehearse the things that need to be rehearsed, and I want to wing those things that need to be wung. Because in the end, there is this fog that clouds what may come next. And some people thrill in the unknown. Some people are paralyzed by the terrors it just might contain. And then there's those of us in the middle, with no great expectations of what might come next, but only the dim confidence that we'll take it as it comes, and hopefully the companionship of someone to wing it with, who just might whisper you cues when it's all going off the rails. Thank you.
Amanda Happe.
You're listening to the Trampoline Hall Podcast. I'm Misha Goldman. Up next, the Q&A.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are there any questions? Yes, you, sir, yes.
If you knew you were going to prepare this so much, why did you end up choosing the topic of improvisation and winging it?
But the question is why you chose improvisation given that you knew you were going to prepare?
I think it's because I am a preparer, I am a planner, and I don't tend to wing it. But then it started making me wonder, do I wing it? Is there places in my life where I'm confident enough to sort of believe that I have my repertoire of skills and experiences that I can pull those together, or am I someone who's perpetually going to be trying to script every moment of my life? So that kind of realization that, like this, I want to rehearse for the things that should be rehearsed. I know my own skills. This impromptu performance is not really one of them. But yet, it is a much kind of a bigger scale question for me that you need to kind of call it a day with being prepared at some points, I think, and allow what you don't know to happen.
Does that answer your question? Yeah. Okay, good. Yes. Yes, you, sir.
So what line out of that?
So what did you learn? Have you found the balance?
No.
All right, good. What did you want to know? You mentioned your work. What is your work?
Oh, I was not going to use the word work because, I have a world of work, which is my day, which I'm more proficient in than the world of work, which is my nights and weekends, which is really where
so you're always working. You're just doing your day work in the day, your night work in the night, your sleep work when you sleep, like that kind of thing.
But that's the world in which I feel like I need to kind of make that commitment to wing it, which is painting.
Oh, so painting. Oh, okay, so you're a painter, and that you do that in the night. You're a night painter.
Yeah.
And you. Yep. But right now, you paint things that other people have painted. Is that what you mean?
Oh no, just that okay, I. So not I kind that. Of. Yeah, I squirrel away and do my work, and don't show it to anyone.
Oh, you don't show it to people. Yeah. So that's not a problem. So it's not the winging it. It's the staging it. You're actually in the wings. You're like effectively. To
That's
use
right.
that analogy.
No one has pushed me out on stage yet.
I'm actually not sure of the connection between those things, because presumably you paint and you have times when you paint and you're like, Tare, I assume, you know, it's improvisational and the painting maybe surprises you or whatever. Is that true?
It used to be. It's become pretty planned.
All right.
It's
yeah.
pretty, like I work in the day as a graphic designer, and I find that seeping more and more into the way that I paint, like, you know, I've got drafts and I've got projections, and before it was very much like, whoosh, you know.
I know you use that complicated art speak.
Yes.
But still I understand, I basically understand the gist of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're becoming less... So your work as a graphic designer is making you less free as an artist, you think? Is that true? Is that a fair assumption?
Oh, I hate to say it, but it's possible.
Okay. All right. So there's your answer. So the work. Your question was, what work does she does? The question is graphic designer and unhappy artist.
I'm happy.
Happy. I'm just, sorry, not unhappy.
Yeah, sequestered. Yeah.
Sequestered. I'm sorry. I always confuse those
yeah.
two. yes. You, ma'am. Yes. How long did it take you to prepare and rehearse? Thank you for that. I like the distinction.
Okay. Well, Kelly, the curator, has a good ring to it.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like
me that I was the first person to send him my completed speech, which was 10 days ago. Why is that funny? I don't... That's how much time you need.
Yeah, people are impressed.
I started panicking at 4 weeks. So it took me... I sat with a loose document full of research for about, that kind of rolled around in the background of my mind for about a week. And then, as my husband will tell you, I spent a solid day, basically probably 9 or 10 hours writing it. And then switched over at that moment to rehearsing it. And I probably, over the span of 10 days, rehearsed it for a total of about 6 hours.
What?
Wait, why are you, someone was shocked? Who was shocked? Was that like the other lecturer tonight, like running out the door? I've got another 2 hours to work on mine. There was a noise of shock? Who was it?
Lauren.
Oh, it was Lauren? Lauren, you were shocked?
Why? Is that a little time?
Did that seem like a lot to you? Or?
I feel like such a loser now.
No, I think it's great. I think that's a lot of very good, I don't know if you ever read a novel, but sometimes people work like a whole a month on one of those.
Oh.
And it's fine, you know, it's completely,
yeah, I don't
it's
have
completely
that kind
acceptable.
Of time,
yeah. No, there's nothing wrong. They're going to try to make you feel like it's not cool to try, but that's, that's just because that's the fact. No, I tell you, I've seen lectures that people were, I'm not to go too behind the scenes on you guys or anything, but I've seen lectures where people don't work on them and they suck. So I appreciate that. Yes, you, sir, yeah.
A little bit.
That's awesome. The question was whether she anticipated questions.
Oh, I didn't realize that was a joke. Okay.
No, no, it's a fair, even if it is a joke, you can treat it as if it's not.
Yeah.
That's one of the Q&A tricks.
Yeah. I think that guy felt very good about his question before he asked
He did.
Thank you. No, I did, and I was, and it's weird being the non-expert with a Q&A. This was the scariest part because I have put everything I know about this subject on this 3 pages folded in half, and I was like, I'm a hollow vessel. I have no more to give on this subject. So I did kind of think of where are other times in my history that I maybe felt the need to wing it, and did I do it successfully or not? So now you're not allowed to ask that question, but so yes, I did. Thank you very much. Prepare for the Q&A.
All right, okay. Anything else you would like to know?
And I promise I won't be so mean anymore.
They could take it. Yeah, okay. Yes,
sir. What role does money play in the choice to wing it or to not care?
The question is, what role does money play in the choice of whether or not to wing it?
Jeez, I don't know. I think that's probably an issue of balls. Like, I would want to prepare for anything I'm being paid for or hope to be paid for, but that's my own kind of approach on things, right? But I don't know, I think you do eventually, you get to this kind of point where just who you are is valued enough that, you know, just kind of you being you and saying what you say probably becomes the kind of thing that can be very valuable, and then you can just start winging life in general.
Just like show up and like, I'm here. Yeah. Here's what a good question is like. That's what it's like for me.
So you think
at this point, at this early, not completely jaded stage in your working life, you feel that you'd be more inclined to prepare if you were being paid in general.
Yeah, I don't know. A version of winging it is probably a money seeking device. Does that answer your question?
All right, cool. Yes, that's a good email. Yes.
You mentioned a husband. How has marriage been?
I'll stop you right there. She'd like to know, what's it like being married? Are you thinking about it yourself? Are you like, I was thinking of getting one of those. How are they? Are they useful to have around?
Do you need to prepare for this?
So in a relationship, because a relationship involves, is improvisational, you mean? Like, because...
Yeah. How much could you prepare for what was actually involved?
Right. Did you prepare for being married?
No. I mean, when I kind of closed it with a little like to the husband over there, but I think that I see them as your, like they are your person in the wings. They're the opposite of something that you have to go into in a situation and wing it with them, because I don't know why, I can only speak from personal experience, but it's almost like, you know, you're then together winging it in the world. So that's been my personal experience.
Does that answer your question? Okay, yes.
That was a no.
Anything else? Anything else people would like to know? Any other? Yes, you ma'am. Yes.
Is planning a good trait for a graphic designer?
What? Sorry.
Is planning a good trait?
Oh, is planning a good? Is being a planner in that way a good trait for a graphic designer? Are you more successful than graphic designers who wing it more? Is that your question?
Yeah,
okay, it would be your question. All right.
I know the place that I work, we are super structured with process, so it's very much a planning and rehearsing and researching and replanning and throwing it away and starting again. It is a long slog process kind of approach, so I think that makes us as a whole pretty successful. Okay. Yeah, that is not something I would wing it in, but that's me.
All right, so for graphic design, it's good. It's good to take those steps and really think through what you're going to do and do the research and do the homework and do all that kind of stuff. Is that?
In my opinion.
In your opinion, well, okay. We understand. Yeah, we understand that you wouldn't be here giving us someone else's.
It's part of the non-expert part of the evening, is that I feel super weird giving answers to questions
I have opinions. So that's okay. So is there anything else that you've said that you want to qualify as not being universally true, or that you'd want us to, because people are basically, anything that you said here, people are going to go home and be like, it's completely true, a lady said it.
Well, the non-expert said, so yeah.
In a bar, it must be true, and you're going to have to like run after them and be like, no, it's
okay, anything else? I will stop being so Canadian about it.
That's okay, yeah. That's fair, I'll just make fun of you a little. You took some time to try to anticipate questions. Were any of the questions that people asked, were they like the sorts of questions you anticipated?
No.
And how is it, has it been like okay? Has it been all right, or is it?
Oh, it's great. And I mean, to me, the preparation is like there's like a 1.1% chance that someone's going to actually ask a question that I thought of. But the fact that you've prepared is like the thing that shuts off the kind of like, Amanda, what happens in the Q&A? Like, you can turn that guy off as soon as you know that you've done all you can do.
So you're like, oh, so that's weird. So it's like an almost, what's the word? Not superstitious, but like it's like you feel that it'll help to prepare, even though you actually didn't. So you didn't think that any of the questions you asked were likely to be asked. You're just like, you'll feel like you have prepared.
Exactly, it's ritualistic.
Right, ritualistic, yes. Thank you. That's exactly the word, yes. I was looking for, thank you. It's a pep talk, but it's almost the, except it's not a talk. But it's not peppy because it's not like a pep talk. But just
it's pep prep.
It's pep prep, but it's not. Do you want to tell us? Can you remember any of the questions that you thought people would ask?
No, I didn't want to get into this because then I have to tell the answers to them, but I'm not going to offer any of those up. But it was like, do you know anyone else who's kind of, won it in a way that you respect? Or, more stuff like historically.
More like how many name 10 famous improvisers.
And I was like, make sure you know the original name of Martin Luther King's speech in case someone asks you about that. And Mahalia Jackson is a gospel singer in case someone wants to know about that.
Well, we appreciate you having done that preparation.
Thank you.
Is there anything else people would like to know? Yes, you ma'am, yes.
Do you find you worry about a lot of things? Or
the question is, do you worry about a lot of things? Is there a second, or what?
Or just more about this lecture.
Have you worried about other things before this lecture? Is that your question? Is this lecture sort of characteristic of what your life like in general, in that like you would generally prepare a lot for other things, or is this like a particular unusual situation?
I totally considered worrying and preparing to be totally disconnected. I think I worry less than most people that I know, and it's because you're kind of like, I am ready for this. Like tonight, I was like, I'm ready for this talk. I got it memorized. Right. Like you don't have to worry when you are ready for something. So like.
the last lecturer who's only worried, is that right? Your strategy has been to not prepare at all but only worry, is that what you're, all right, yeah, so we can compare and we can see how those two strategies go. Yes, you, the bearded gentleman in the
given that you memorized your speech on improvisation, were you prepared for a mental blip, for like a little brain fart?
Yeah, I have the whole thing.
So
here.
Fred, is everything sort of choice marked so that if you...
So you mean like, did she have like a fallback plan, like in case something went wrong, like a plan B?
If you try and sort of memorize something that you're really freaked out about, and then you blank, you crash really hard.
Right.
So did you have? Yeah. Was there a contingency plan?
No, because I wasn't freaked out anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, this is just a mess of aerial size 12 single space. Like, there's no finding where you are in a casual moment if you're lost. Yeah. On page 2.5, it's over.
Would you just, like, leave? You'd just be like, you could find me, take, like, a half a minute, but you wouldn't be like,
my plan was just to fumble the pages into the audience and run away.
You'd be surprised how many people actually do that. Well, we're glad you didn't. Ladies and gentlemen, Amanda Happe.
Thanks for listening. Trampoline Hall was created in Toronto in the 21st century by Sheila Hetty and is hosted by me. This episode's lecture was chosen by Kelly Jenkins. The podcast is produced by Josh Block. Our theme music was composed by Matt Smith. Our coordinating producer and lecture selector extraordinaire is Kate Bars. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can help us out by leaving a rating and review on iTunes. It really helps a lot. You can also come check out the show in Toronto. I am Misha Globerman. Thanks for listening.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.